Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Years ago, when I was a young, aspiring baseball pitcher, my mom was my first catcher. She gave it up when she complained I threw hard enough it hurt her glove hand to catch it, and of course her shins when I threw in the dirt. But imagine if she had been catching someone who could actually throw a fastball. Catchers in the major and minor leagues are on the receiving end of thousands of fastballs a year, many reaching 99 or 100 miles an hour. And a 2005 Wake Forest University study showed despite the extra padding in a catcher's mitt, catchers suffer from chronic hand injuries. Enter Lee and Jason Jaramillo. The brothers are from the Racine area. Lee played baseball at UWM and then in the minor leagues in the Brewers organization. Jason has climbed through the ranks and appeared in 119 major league games. He's now in the Astros system. They're the founders of a company seeking to change the game for catchers. Racine-based ForceOut has developed an internal padded glove to fit inside a catcher's mitt. Lee Jaramillo is in the studio with us to explain. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You were a catcher in college in the minor leagues. Your brother has been a catcher in the majors, and he's in AAA now. What can you tell us about what it feels like to catch pitches thrown in the upper 90s over the course of a game and over the course of a season?
Kids nowadays are starting to throw harder and harder every day. It's just what's happening. Baseball's evolving, and it really stings. If you catch it right, you're going to get stung. I mean, that's just where the hand fits in the glove. And so if you catch it right, you're going to get hit right on the index finger and at the base of the finger. And it really does sting, especially when it's cold out, especially when we have weather up here and we can't get outside until, well, what are we now? You know, I mean, we can't even get outside. But kids up in the north have a harder time. Once they start getting outside, it gets really cold and the hand really does get beat up.
And do we talk about like chronic injuries at the end of a season or at the end of a career?
Well, if you see Jason, my brother's finger at the end of the season, it's noticeably a lot more swollen than the beginning of the season. So you do have that affliction. I've had bone bruises and that lasts throughout the off season, but yeah, you can totally tell the difference in the index finger.
People who watch baseball, they see catcher's mitts. You have one on the table in front of you right here. They look like they're thick padded gloves, but are they not padded enough where it counts?
They're not. I think with glove manufacturers, they struggle. They're juggling protecting the player but also not being so obstructive. So when they design their gloves, there are glove manufacturers that are starting to put more padding in there, but it just doesn't fit right for the player. So I think they struggle with that. So the advent of the inner gloves and ours now, we think that it's going to be sort of a complementary use with the glove.
And talk about the different parts of the hand as they pertain to catching, because when you look at it, the bulk of the padding is around the thumb. It's around where the pinky goes. Those parts of the hand aren't actually doing the catching, are they?
Right. Like I said before, if you're going to catch the ball in the right spot, you're going to get stung. And so the padding there is very minimal. I mean, the leather is great. I mean, the companies that make them do a great job, but, it doesn't do enough for the player. And it shows when there's studies at Wake Forest being done on this real affliction, that it's actually something that really damages, the kids and the players' nerves over time. And so it's irreparable as well.
So when did the light bulb go off that there was room for another piece of equipment that could make a difference?
Well, Jason was playing with the Pittsburgh Pirates at the time. It was 2009, I want to say. He lives in Caledonia during the offseason. So I'd pick him up, take him to Miller Park, dump him off at the loading dock, and he'd be on his way. And so
the glamorous life of a ball player.
Right, exactly. Dump him off at the loading dock. So after one of the games, we started talking. He started saying, he's getting really beat up in his hand. He wished there was something that he had. And I said, there are gloves out there. He said, yeah, I know, but, I've used them before. They don't do what I need them to do. And I remember playing as well. There are gloves out there that we would try that they claimed to help, pad the palm and the finger. It was just too bulky. It was just too much material around the hand. So he never wore one. So what he would do is have the trainers sort of mock up some gel. They'd cut up some gel pieces, insert it there, but it's moving all around and it's breaking up and then you have all these little particles. So we started to think about, hey, why don't we design our own? My main business is commercial real estate and not inventing new products. But being the serial entrepreneur that I am, I said, let's try it out. So we started mocking up drawings and trying to find people that could actually do the prototype for us.
Well, and so the product you came up with looks kind of like a batting glove. It only has one full finger and part of the thumb.
Right. So when we're designing this glove, we want the least amount of material possible. And so first of all, you want to take care of the parts that really get beat up. After that, you really don't need anything else on your hand. And so we designed it such that the middle, the ring, the pinky, and the thumb are free of any kind of material, because those are the parts of the hand that actually close the glove. So if you put your hand in a glove and you can sort of kind of do a cutaway of get the glove off your hand, those are the fingers that are closing the glove. So you want to really feel the skin on leather, tactile sensation, if I go technical on you. We went through many iterations. Jason said, no, this is garbage. Take it back, you know, and he was using it during the season. And so we were mocking up gloves and they were falling apart. But we finally, you know, got it right after a few years of prototyping.
Well, and so within that, there you mentioned that those fingers are cut away from it. The index finger, though, has significant padding at the tip and no padding where the knuckles actually bend the finger itself, though.
Right. And there are gloves out there, like I keep mentioning, that they claim to do that. But ours are a little different in that they have individual pads right at the point of the finger, you know, and no pads right where the creases of the finger. So you're able to have mobility and flexibility, even though that the index finger really serves no function except to get beat up during the game. You still want it to have some contouring of the glove. You know, a lot of players put their finger outside of the glove, so they want to be able to wrap it around. It's sort of a security for them as well. So it has a little bit of contouring to it.
So as you say, your business was not in launching products and manufacturing them. How did you go about finding the right people to source the materials from and actually build this thing?
Well, it was tough. It was really tough. You know, a lot of research, a lot of, you know, asking around, you know, what are the Nikes and the Rawlings and the Franklins and the Eastons of the world using for their leather? You know, we wanted to use the same type of quality. We didn't want to compromise our product we weren't going to put it out, you know, to market. We were just designing it for Jason. All of a sudden, it became something much more. So we wanted to make sure, because our name is attached to this, you know, and we wanted to make sure that the materials were of great quality. And so we sourced it and we researched it, and we finally found that the right leather was the Pittards leather out of the UK that most of these sporting good companies do use. So we use that for every glove, no matter youth or adult.
Well, and so how long did it take to go from this idea and then, you know, a drawing that maybe you did to the point where Jason feels comfortable having it on his hand in a game now?
Well, it took about 3 years to kind of come from the idea to game time, ready to go piece of equipment. But it took a long time because he's a major leaguer and he's finicky, you know, about what he wants to put on his hand. So we need to get it right.
Well, you said you didn't really know a lot about launching a company to make something and then actually making it. What about distribution? How are you getting this aside from the word of mouth? It's for sale on your website. Is it going to end up in stores someday?
We hope so. We're getting calls from national sporting good retailers now, which is a whole different world to me. I mean, you add on the fact that you're coming up with a product that you know nothing about in terms of getting it out there and actually manufacturing it. Then you have to deal with the distribution part of this whole thing. You know, people are like, why don't you go on Shark Tank? I said, because they'll probably kick me out of there. You know, it's just one product. But, you know, it's one of those things where retailers are starting to call and email us and asking us questions about – and it's a – the lingo is so much different than I'm used to that I'm having to Google a lot of these terms and figure out what they're talking about, call people that I know that are in the business. But, yeah, they're calling us and I'm afraid that we, you know, actually it'll really take off and that we'll have to really get things going ramped up here in terms of manufacturing.
Are you the one full-time employee at this point?
I've turned into the one full-time employee. I've got my kids packaging up some gloves at home. But, you know, but other than that, I'm the marketing guy. I'm everything to the company so far.
Well, I was going to ask, the distribution center right now is your house?
It is. We have an office as well that we do it out of. So we do it, you know, depending on when orders come in, we'll fulfill it at the office or we'll do it at home. You know, because, you know, our goal is to really give the customer a really good experience and say, hey, you know, I ordered it at 4 o'clock and now it's at my doorstep the next day. You know, it's really one of those things. But there's a lot of moving parts that we want to hit on. So we are.
Multiple sizes?
We have youth sizes. We have adult sizes. It's for women, men, softball players, fast pitch softball players. We've got a lot of orders from women that are going to be playing or girls that are going to be playing fast pitch softball, which is really nice to see because it's not just a baseball glove and it's not just a catcher's glove. It's for first base, third base, and any other position. And I think because of the way it form fits, people can really say, hey, you know, I can use this at multiple positions. So it's really taken off on all sports and all genders.
You talked about how your brother is really finicky about it, and I would imagine many pro ball players are as well. How willing are they to give something a shot that hasn't been on the market very long?
Well, that's a good question, because it's really hard, because Major League players are probably inundated with all kinds of product offers. Say, here, try this gum, try this chin strap, try this, try that. But because Jason has credibility within the game, he's able to say to, you know, his fellow teammates, hey, try this out. This is a glove that my brother and I came out. You know, I'm using it and it's working for me. Try it out. So they're more willing to try it. And once they try it, they see the benefits instantly. They feel like they, you know, a lot of the comments that we got back in spring training this year, I went down there to kind of talk to some of the players, is that they feel like they don't even have the glove on. And it's so lightweight and form-fitting that you know, the starting catcher for the Houston Astros is wearing this every day and can't play without it. And so it's starting to kind of take on a life of its own.
Do you have a sense for how many players are using them now?
Not many right now. I mean, our marketing efforts are grassroots right now. We've got a couple players with the Houston Astros. I've sent some over to the Brewers. I've got some friends with the Brewers right now. Arizona Diamondback just sent one out to their catcher as well. So we're starting to slowly get the word out, and it's starting to kind of catch on here.
Do you think is that going to make the key difference that maybe when some high-profile players start wearing them, more people will take notice?
Yeah. You know, I think it can't hurt. It's one of those things where we're in a really good position because we have that type of endorsement. Jason, you know, he wouldn't wear it if it didn't work for him. So to have those connections and that endorsement backing this, it lends a lot of credibility to our product.
Can you bat with that?
Sure you can. You can do whatever. You can go outside and shovel the snow and rake the leaves. You can do anything in this thing. I'm not limiting myself here to this thing, Mitch. So it's a good product, and you know we believe in it, and we're constantly trying to make it better. And we've got these pull tabs that we have patent pending as well.
I was going to ask about so you have these little pull tab flaps that sort of hang down a little bit underneath the cutoff parts of the fingers. What is that about?
During these prototypes, we started to talk about it. And I was putting it on myself, and I was pulling it. I was like, this is hard to pull out. What can we do? So we came up with the idea of pulling little pull tabs. They're real small pull tabs. And really what it does is when you slide the inner glove inside the mitt, the tabs actually fall down. They kind of flatten out, so they don't get in the way at all. When it's time to take off the glove, you just kind of tug on those little pull tabs, and they're a patent-pending design that we came up with. So, and a lot of people that see that part, I think it's a small detail, but it's very important.
You played how many years in the minors?
I played 4 years in the minors.
And played at UWM before that.
Yeah.
Is it interesting, or does it feel good to you that even though you don't have a major league legacy, you could be kind of touching the lives of baseball players in the major leagues for years to come with something like this?
Yeah. You know, when I started researching and found out there was a real affliction with this whole thing and that there's studies being done, you start to understand the, you know, not just the kind of the in-game situation, you understand that it's a long-term effect and that's irreparable damage that it does to your nerves after time. I'm not saying that this is going to completely eliminate it, because that would be a false claim. It's going to certainly help. But knowing that we could possibly help kids and college age and high school kids, you know, prolong their career, it feels good. It really does.
You, as we said, were a catcher. Your brother is a catcher. What is it about catching that runs in your family?
I don't know. You know, my father, you know, he's from Mexico, and he came here when he was probably about 15 or 16 years old. And when he got here, he loved playing baseball. So when he got here, he found a league here in Milwaukee that he played in. And at that time, he was catching. So we would lug around the equipment for him. And, you know, it's just sort of a you follow your dad and you see kind of what he's doing, and then you follow in his footsteps. So I became a catcher. And then all of a sudden, Jason starts to kind of catch up. My older brother, Frankie, also played professionally. He with the Texas Rangers. He became a shortstop. I don't know where
the black sheep of the family.
The black sheep of the family. He's a very good shortstop. And my father actually played shortstop as well a little bit. I just think Frankie was probably a little bit more quick on his feet.
There's a certain range that goes along
right
with a shortstop.
Very good ball player. And So he played shortstop, and Jason and I, you know, took on catching, and you know, loved the position, and I wish I was still playing.
you must miss it.
I got to call Doug Melvin, see if he'll give me a little tryout here. But
can you close?
I may be able to. I may be able to fool him with my slow pitch, my Woody Woodpecker slow pitch. But no, I you know, it's in me. You know, it never leaves you. You know, after playing baseball, I worked with the Milwaukee Brewers in the marketing department. I got my degree out of UWM as a marketing major, and you figured you put baseball and marketing together, you smash it together, and all of a sudden, hey, you're working in the front office with the Brewers. It just didn't work for me. You know, it was one of those things where I loved playing. I just didn't like working for it. So, yeah, I do miss it.
Speaking of marketing, though, the website is pretty slick that you have cooked up.
Yeah. You know, we wanted to make it really simple, but at the same time not look so bland. And so, you know, we'd look at the Nikes, we'd look at the Apples of the world, and, you know, of course we don't have the dollars to do that, so I had to build a website entirely by myself. I knew nothing about website building. But you talk to all these web designers and all these different professionals. It was just too expensive for us. Right now, we're, you know, grassroots. We're trying to allocate the dollars where we need it the most. So I ended up building the website, and it turned out, I mean, we've gotten a lot of good feedback. So, yeah, we've gotten good feedback from it.
I have to ask, as a catcher, did you ever have to catch knuckleballers?
Yeah, I have. You know, they're really difficult, you know, and it moves around so much. And you see those big mitts that they use. It's almost like a first baseman mitt. It's not an easy thing to do. I mean, I mess around and throw knuckleballs to my son, and he's laughing and giggling because it's dancing all over the place, but it's not easy at all. It's not easy at all.
Be the one pitch that you would not actually need the inner glove for.
Probably not. Probably two skillets or something to catch a thing.
I think it was Bob Uecker who said the best way to catch it is to wait till it stops rolling and then go pick it up.
That's a good idea, for sure. For sure.
Well, it's really great stuff. Lee Jaramillo, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Mitch. Appreciate
it. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Lee Jaramillo is the founder of Force Out, a Racine-based company that makes a padded internal glove for baseball mitts. Jaramillo grew up in Wisconsin, played ball at UWM and in the Brewers minor league system. His brother, Jason, helped develop the glove as well. He's currently catching for the Houston Astros AAA affiliate. You can see a picture of him using the Force Out glove at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one last break and then return with celebrated cook and author Nigella Lawson. Her newest cookbook is Nigelissima, and it celebrates Italian home cooking. Lake Effect will be right back on Milwaukee Public Radio.